The question of whether gray wolves should be taken off the endangered species list is a controversial one. It's a debate that reached a fever pitch when the Michigan Department of Natural Resources proposed a limited wolf hunt in 2012 in parts of northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula. But the back and forth is not limited to hunters and animal rights advocates. It's also creating a divide in the conservation community. Some wildlife scientists say the wolf population is sufficiently recovered in the western Great Lakes, but others say that taking them off the endangered species list puts its recovery at risk. Here to discuss are two scientists on either side of the issue. Gary Roloff is an associate professor in the MSU Department of Fisheries and Wildlife and supports delisting the wolves. Welcome, Gary.
Good morning.
And also joining us by phone is Michigan Tech Associate Professor John Vucetich, who opposes delisting. Welcome, John.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Gary, let's lay out some history here. The debate over gray wolves in the Midwest was thrust into the spotlight 3 years ago when officials started weighing whether or not to allow limited wolf hunting in our state. The conservation efforts around gray wolves, though, goes back a lot farther than that. Give us a brief overview of how wolves got on the endangered species list in the first place.
Yeah, so, you know, the history of how we treated predators in this country is pretty abysmal, and wolves were one of those victims that suffered from over-harvest, over-exploitation, bounty systems. And wolves were one of the first species, I think it was in the early 1980s, to be listed under the Endangered Species Act because we saw some declines in the population. So rightfully so, wolves were listed for federal protection because we saw some very serious things happening with their populations across the country.
John, how successful have conservation efforts been over the years?
Oh, I think that wolves represent one of these kind of ironic circumstances where they are at the same time a spectacular success, and but still not quite there. And so there's no doubt that that wolves are doing as well as they are in the three-state area is a smashing success for conservation, no doubt about it. I think the question is whether it's enough of a success to say that they no longer need to be endangered.
Well, Gary, you were one of a group of scientists who recently signed on to a letter to Dan Ash. Mr. Ash is the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the letter recommended that the agency take the gray wolf off the list. Can you summarize for us why you think that's a good idea?
Yeah. So I kind of took a step back, and I looked at the delisting criteria that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service uses to try to make that designation. And in my opinion, I felt that those criteria were being met for the Western Great Lakes distinct population segment. That's really the focus of this delisting decision. And the things I kind of looked for were the recovery goals being met? Were the threats to the population adequately addressed? And were experts consulted during the delisting process? And based on my training and my professional opinion, I felt that all of those criteria were reasonably fulfilled, and that was the basis for me signing onto that letter.
What have the threats been?
Well, the Fish and Wildlife Service looks at specifically at five different categories of threats, I'll call them. The first one focuses on habitat, whether the habitat is being destructed or modified or curtailed. And if habitat is proven not to be limiting the forest, or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service can fulfill that criteria. The other one is overutilization, which I already mentioned, for recreational or educational purposes. Risk of disease or predation is another one. Adequate existing regulatory mechanisms that are outside of the Endangered Species Act is the fourth one. And then the fifth one is whether there's any natural or man-made factors that might affect the recovery process.
John, you're on the other side of this one. You don't think the gray wolves have made an adequate recovery to take them off the list yet. Talk to us about what you think remains to be done here.
Sure. You know, I think the question about whether wolves should be delisted is certainly complicated. There's many dimensions to it, legal, ecological, social. But I also don't think you can even approach this question about whether wolves should be delisted until we first understand what the purpose of the Endangered Species Act is. And on that point, there's certainly controversy, and I think that is probably the root of the controversy. And so some people think that the purpose of the Endangered Species Act is essentially limited to making sure that the species is not going to go extinct, and that's about it. Other people believe that the purpose of the ESA is premised on this idea that we've mistreated certain creatures that live in our country through persecution, habitat degradation, and most importantly, that all leading to restrictions in the places where they can live. And by this other view of the Endangered Species Act, folks think that to do right by those species, we're obligated to recover them to most of the places that we had removed them. Now, that view is turns out to be supported by most legal scholars. It's supported by about a dozen court cases, and it's also supported by a congressional intent that was expressed at the time that the law was signed in 1973. And so if that ends up being the purpose of the Endangered Species Act, and you recognize that across the country, wolves only occupy about 10% of their former range, it makes us think that might not be the right time to delist wolves. In a nutshell, that's the basis for my view.
Gary, respond specifically to the points that he just made.
Okay, so I guess I kind of take a little bit different tact on it. So my decision to sign on to that letter was focused on the Western Great Lakes distinct population segment. And that's the group that's proposed for delisting.
Is that what's in play here? Is kind of the geographical range of the animal?
Yes, yeah, that's the focus of the letter that I was a signatory to. And I understand John's point that if we delist them in this area, maybe we can't recover them in other parts of the Adirondacks or other areas
right. That
maybe historically supported wolves. But my opinion is I think it's really important that we show some success, that we place success stories from the Endangered Species Act, that we place trust in our local resource management agencies to maintain the viability of wolves in that distinct population segments. Because, again, to me, all the indicators in this part of the country are that population is recovered.
Gary Roloff is an associate professor in the Department of Fisheries and Wildlife at Michigan State University. We're also joined by Professor John Vucetich, an associate professor of forest resources and environmental services at Michigan Tech, and we're talking about the debate over whether the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services should take the gray wolf off the endangered species list in the Western Great Lakes states. Gary, back to you. One of the reasons you and other scientists gave as a reason to delist wolves is the fact that the Wildlife Service has limited resources. You claim that delisting wolves could open up money for other species in more dire straits, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of the arguments that's commonly portrayed is potentially the importance of showing some success through the Endangered Species Act, getting species off of the list into state management. So that federal money can potentially help conserve species that are at greater risk.
John, any merit to that idea?
Yes. Well, I think that I have a response to it for sure. And this idea of prioritizing limited resources for conservation, that's known as conservation triage. And conservation triage is, of course, a metaphor for when we apply triage, say, on the battlefield, and we make a decision to, for example, not help a soldier that maybe is about to die, to withhold care from them because we don't have the resources to do it completely, and those resources might be better spent on a soldier that can be saved. And so if we take that circumstance and apply it by analogy to what we're talking about here, if we don't have enough money to perform conservation, that may be a reality, but you don't address that reality by delisting, because delisting is a statement of success. It's a way of saying, hey, we've accomplished something. And if there's not enough money and if money needs to be prioritized, that's fine, but the solution is to spend the money where it's most needed, and that does not necessarily entail delisting.
This debate also involves a broader debate, I would say, about the extent to which humans should intervene in the fate of a species. Gary Roloff, talk to us about that. What are your views on intervention?
Well, the fact that humans are an integral part of almost every ecosystem on this planet can't be ignored. And the Endangered Species Act makes some attempts to address that. by providing provisions for, they call it take of certain individuals that might be harming, life or property, for example, in the case of wolves. But it's a bigger, as John alluded to earlier, this whole decision about delisting wolves is a much bigger social issue. I don't think there's anybody that signed either of those letters that wants to see wolves disappear from the Western Great Lakes region. I think some of us would like to see management of those wolves placed in state control versus federal control. And I guess my take-home point is, regardless of whose control wolves are in, it's my opinion that they're going to do just fine in the Western Great Lakes region. And what this may eventually boil down to is how we manage the social piece of who wants wolves and who doesn't want wolves.
John, do you think that there are benefits to giving states control on this issue, given that the wolf status varies so much from state to state?
Oh, well, I mean, the states should have control of wolves as soon as they're delisted. And so I think I think the way to answer the question is just to start off with, should they be delisted?
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife has actually attempted to take the gray wolf off the endangered species list before, only to have that decision struck down in court. Gary, do you think that delisting has a chance of succeeding, given its history of getting overruled by the courts?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. It's been such a wild card, such a flux. It's been on, off, on, off.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we all want what's best for the wolves. I would like to place management of that in the state management agencies because I think they have a really good plan in place. They've got a handle on how to manage the population. I think there's a chance they can be delisted, but I think it's too close to call at this point.
We've been talking about the debate over whether or not to remove gray wolves from the endangered species list. Our guests have been Gary Roloff, associate professor in the MSU Department of Fisheries and Wildlife. We also want to thank John Vucetich, associate professor of forest resources and environmental services at Michigan Tech. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It was great to be here.